We're doing the Sefer HaMidot, we're up to page Resh Pei Chet. And the Ma'an Midovna had been describing that there are, in general, three types of causes in the world. There are the things that cause life or death. There are the things that cause us to make a living or lose it. And then there are the things that cause spiritual life or lack thereof. And he went on to describe how, for example, different foods, if you cook or bake the meat, so then the meat becomes edible and healthy. And if you eat it raw or after a period of time when it's gone bad, so then if you don't know the wisdom of how to use it, so then the food is not going to be beneficial. It's going to be hurtful to a person. And just as the capacity to use the foods is contingent on our understanding, our knowledge of the foods, to know how to eat them, when to eat them, at what times to eat them. Ken ha'inyan b'mitzvot v'averot, we're up to the third line on Resh Pei Chet. The same is true with regards to mitzvos and averos. Yeah. Let's see. He's going to explain. Gam ha'shotev ha'mitzvah u'sgulatan ha'mshich ha'chaim ba'atov al'nefesh. Even though technically the mitzvah should intrinsically cause life, should be a cause for what's good for the soul, and the sin should be intrinsically bad. It should be something that is destructive to the soul. Nonetheless, even with regards to mitzvot and averot, they are contingent to the wisdom. להתבונן בתנאיהם ופרטיהם וחוקיהם כוונת עשייתם וזמן עשייתם ובפנים הראויים להם. One has to look and note what are the conditions, what are the details, what are the laws, what is one's intent, when is the timing, what's the right aspect, when each should be done. ואם על פי הוראת החוכמה ישנה חוקה ראוי לה או תנאי מתנאיה. Because sometimes wisdom, intellect, would demand that you switch the rules a little bit, you switch the conditions. Sometimes the nature of the sin switches, or the nature of the mitzvah switches. Meaning instead of the mitzvah granting longevity, it's the other way around. Instead of the avera being detrimental, it's the other way around. As our sages taught with regard to one who serves Hashem, shelo lishma, if someone only learns Torah in order to chastise people, his whole point in learning Torah is to be able to tell people, you're wrong, to breathe down their neck. So then the Gemara says, noch lo shelo ba la'olam. He'd have been better off if he wouldn't have come to the world. Sometimes we say, you'll get there. Even if you're learning Torah without the proper intent, you'll get there. But sometimes we say, no, that's so detrimental to the world, the person would have been better off had he never come there. And so too, the Talmud tells us, those who go in the right course with the Torah, so then it's a drug of life. But if they go in the wrong course, so then the Torah could also be a potion of death. The Talmud tells us in Nazir, under certain circumstances, if one does a sin with the right intent, it is even greater than a mitzvah with the wrong intent. Wow. So you have to learn that Gemara, you have to see how to apply it. Right? Look, we could take a simple example from the Gemara in Sota. The Gemara tells us what's one of the types of people that are destructive to the world is a chassid shoteh, a pious person who's foolish. He sees a woman drowning in the river and says, she's naked, I can't look. Okay, so he's taking a mitzvah of being modest and he's misapplying it. He's taking the avera of touching a woman and he's misapplying it. So here you have a situation where if he'd only do it with the right reasons, then things would be better for the world, for himself. He's misapplying the mitzvos and averos. Umeashnaim tedashlishit. And if we analyze correctly the first two, remember he said there are two types of causes pertaining to our discussion. There are two types of causes in the world. There's what causes health or illness, what causes a person's parnasa, a person's making a living or losing it. So if you look at those two, you'll understand the third with regards to what causes one benefit to one's soul and what causes its detriment. Look at what causes wealth or poverty. That too is given to the hands of wisdom. If a person deals correctly, then they will do their ends and he will find himself with a living. And if he misapplies the talents he has, the rules that exist, then it will cause him the exact opposite. Sometimes if you're really smart, you could take something that ordinarily causes a loss and make it cause a gain. Case in point, right now we're in the month of December, in the Gregorian calendar, right? So people are thinking of their taxes. So they file all their losses so that on their records, what's recorded is a smaller profit. And then let's say a person has a loss that he could record. He prefers to record it now, and then his profits are diminished. And then he'll pay less taxes. So sometimes you take something which is detrimental ordinarily, and you say, let me cash in on that loss now. What'll be next year? Next year I'll figure out for next year. Because wisdom has the capacity to switch around, to overcome the causes. If a person can find the detail where instead of that causing him a loss, it's going to cause him a benefit, so then with his wisdom, a person can overcome it. He's not switching the nature of things, he's just outsmarting nature. What would be another good example of that? Levi's jeans. They had their factory of jeans production under a factory of bleach. They were one floor down. And the bleach factory had a problem, and their bleach leaked into Levi's jeans factory. And all their jeans, true story, and their jeans got bleached. So what did Levi's do? Instead of suffering a tremendous loss, they publicized brand new jeans, all new bleached jeans. Figured they'd give it a shot. And they made a mint, right? There was a guy who had a company for salmon. Yeah, he had a canning company for salmon. And one time he got a load, which when he opened the cans, he saw all the salmon were white. Who's going to want white instead of pink salmon, right? So he didn't know what to do. Came out with an advertising campaign, buy the salmon that doesn't turn pink in the can. Before his competitors knew what hit them, he sold out all his white salmon. So that... What?
It wasn't rotten.
It was a different kind of salmon. But he didn't know how to get rid of it. Who's going to buy salmon that's white? But if you advertise it that way, so people were looking for the salmon that doesn't turn pink in the can. So sometimes you have a situation where it's up to you to use your wisdom and take something which could be the cause of a great loss and turn it into a potential great profit. And that goes back to the verse in Isaiah, where the prophet says, woe to those people that descend to Egypt for assistance. God is smart when he has brought bad times upon Israel. And he hasn't removed his what he has declared, that bad times would come on Israel. They're assuming the Egyptians will help them, and it's not going to work. Why does it stress that Hashem is Chacham, Ratza Lomar? What the verse means to say is, Lo sheyasir et koach hateva leshanoto lehofcho. God is not going to change the forces of nature. God's not going to turn things around. Ki met devarav lo esir. God says, I'm not switching what I declared, the way the world would run. Nonetheless, Hashem will cause within the system that the opposite will come true. God will cause that the very cause which you think would be a salvation for Israel, their peace treaty with the Egyptians, that in and of itself will be the cause of their downfall. That's exactly what happened. It's not that God decreed that the Egyptians would suddenly be weakened and they wouldn't be able to help us, or suddenly there should be a plague, their horses, their chariots should be diminished. But our tradition has it that as the Egyptians were sailing to maintain their end of the deal, they were coming to really help us. God showed them flasks floating on the sea, and they looked at all those flasks and they said, wow, that's all from our ancestors who sunk in this sea because of those Jews. And they said, how could we help them? Those people, they're our enemies. Yeah, we had a peace treaty, but we can't help them. They caused the demise of all our forefathers. So what did Hashem do? Hashem didn't change nature. Hashem just set up a scenario where within nature they would lose. Hashem is wise. When Hashem chooses to bring bad, Hashem doesn't have to change what he said. He doesn't have to change the laws of nature. A person should take note of this. That without Hashem changing the nature of things in the world, Hashem didn't change the nature of the Egyptian armor and the Egyptian army. Nonetheless, Hashem has the strength to turn things around so that the very cause that should have been a cause for salvation will act the other way around. Or at least that it shouldn't accomplish what you'd expect it to accomplish. And we have an example of that in our parsha. Yosef has a dream. He sees everyone's bundles bowing to his. What do the brothers say? Are you going to be king over us? No, you won't. Well, they just made him king. Because dreams come true in accordance with their interpretation. And they interpreted the dream to mean that he's going to be king. So what do? We're going to ensure you won't be king. We're going to sell you naked into slavery in Egypt, a land where no slave ever escaped. By selling him into Egypt, they ensured that he would rise to the top and become the king of Egypt. So, second in command. The brothers themselves, they're acting one way, and Hashem has another plan, and so within the laws of nature, Hashem brings it about that it plays itself out the other way. All the cause and effect that we see within nature, well, it's all under Hashem's control. And Hashem could guide things whatever direction He wants, without changing the nature of cause and effect in the world. Because it's necessary in this world to leave nature status quo. The whole world needs that. Planes wouldn't fly if you couldn't rely on nature. But Hashem could create new circumstance which will cause that the cause and effect will ultimately result in the direction that Hashem wills. We see this many times. People sometimes get very wealthy from things that ordinarily cause great poverty in the world. If the prices shoot up, so ordinarily you can't do business when the market's so high. Yeah, unless you're the one that has the commodity. Or there's a famine. Look at the end of the Holocaust. Many Jews became extraordinarily wealthy because people were selling diamond and gold and silver for nothing. They didn't think it would ever regain its value. They thought the world economies would never recover. So Jews were buying up. Jews, right after the Holocaust, many Jews became very wealthy this way. People who sell the grains when the prices are sky high, well, they get very wealthy through this. The Gemara tells us in Brachos, sometimes you have good, which ultimately leads to bad. Sometimes you have bad, which ultimately leads to good. How so? You have a person whose crops got drowned in water, so that's bad. But it ultimately leads to good because next year or in 2 years, he's going to grow a massive crop because he's had so much water in his field. You have a guy who has good that ultimately leads to bad. That's a person who inherited a great inheritance or won the lottery, and all the gangsters around town heard about it, and the king heard about it. So even though right now it's good, but ultimately where's it going to lead him? He's going to need bodyguards, and even then he's not sure he's going to make it away with his life. The Midrash says, Hashem creates the cure from within the wound itself. And that's a phenomenal concept. Within Haman, you have the cure for Haman. Haman himself brings Mordechai to the top. Our sages didn't say Hashem invents a cure, creates a cure. But the idea that Hashem fixes indicates this idea, that within the cause and effect, the cause for the wound, the cause for the pain, Hashem causes that to be the root of the cure. And if we take a look at the way Hashem led the world in a few areas back earlier in time, you'll notice that this is exactly how Hashem runs the world. With God's great wisdom, He will bring about a cause that won't change the will of up above. Hashem doesn't change what He wants, nor does He change because of His will, the cause and effect, the natural order of things. Take, for example, the Egyptians. They were so smart. They said, we will cause the leader of Israel to drown in water. Hashem didn't change anything about the cause and effect, what they did. So they decide, every Jewish child must be in the Nile, and they're right. Moshe ends up in the Nile, and his mother walks away, and technically Moshe should drown, but Hashem wants something else. So Hashem has it that Pharaoh's daughter thinks to go down to bathe in the Nile, v'tachmol alav, and then she has pity over the baby, v'shachali kol ha-mineket v'hila leven, and then she calls in a wet nurse and says, you bring up the kid. And then the kid becomes her son. V'zot hayta siba nifla legadlo ulchanecho sheroi la'anig menucha al Yisrael. Look at how Hashem took care of it. The Egyptian decree itself caused that Moshe would be brought up in the palace, brought up fit to be king, brought up being taught to be king, brought up like a prince, so that Moshe would actually have the skills necessary to lead the Jewish people. He was brought up in the king's palace. And same idea, they're chasing after Israel. They're saying, we're going to get our money back. So they're chasing, and they end up running directly into the sea so that they will be sunk at sea, the way Hashem had originally planned. Same is true with Yosef in our parsha. As much as the brothers try to outsmart him, they're going to knock him down. At the end of the day, they were the stepping stone that led him to the throne. We know because the brother sent him down to Egypt, he was ultimately incarcerated. And from there, he went up to great success. So the brothers themselves, they were at the root of the fulfillment of his dreams. Okay, We see with Haman, the tree he himself prepared for Mordechai, that was really prepared so that in that moment of anger, he would get hung. Because if the tree weren't prepared, then Achashverosh would have likely calmed down. If he hadn't finished the tree and he was ready to have Mordechai hung, so had that not happened, he wouldn't have come so early in the morning to Achashverosh's palace. He would have never been seen there at that hour. Remember, Achashverosh was up at the crack of dawn. He couldn't sleep that night. He was tossing and turning, reading the history books. So the reason Haman shows up so early is because he just finished building the tree. As the verse says, why did Haman come? Because he was ready to tell the king, let's have Mordechai hung on that tree. So the king invites him in. Haman is bubbling with the idea, I'm going to ask the king to have Mordechai hung. And the king asks him, Haman, I have a question for you. If there's someone I want to show great honor, what do you suggest I do? Take the idea that Haman tried to be so smart to say you have one day to annihilate all the Jewish people. And Haman says it's so fitting, the day their great leader Moshe died, that's the day we'll annihilate these people. Our sages say, when his lot fell in the month of Adar, so Haman was extraordinarily happy. Haman said, oh, it's so fitting. This is the month their great leader died. This is the month for me to annihilate them. But he didn't know that this was also the month of great salvation. This was the month that Moshe actually was born in. So really, the same idea that he thought would be the cause of their destruction was also the cause of their salvation. You find this often. Sometimes a person tries to outsmart nature. He tries to ensure that his plot will come true. And Hashem says, I got one better than you. And Hashem sees to it that directly through that, he will undo his plan. So if this is the way the world works, ata ben adam, lama tabit el hasiba? So we said that people think the balanced approach is to say, well, I know God runs the world, and I also know there is a cause and effect in the world, so I better work with the cause and effect, because that's what's going to ensure I succeed. So the Magen Midvarnei says, why? Why lean on that? That's like leaning on the Egyptian peace treaty. Your job is to do the will of your master. And leave it to him to run things the way he sees fit. If Hashem wills it, then even the things that you think are going to be detrimental to you, they could be the source of good for you. Even though you don't see your way out of it, but he does. And we'll pick up here, Be'ezrat Hashem, we'll finish the chapter after Arvit. The Magen Midvarnei isn't saying, I don't think he's saying, so don't do anything, don't eat. God's going to take care of you and you'll be satiated without eating. No, obviously you have to work within the laws of nature. But where does one place his confidence? Where does one say, that's going to be the cause of my success? So it's tempting to say the cause of my success is if I get a good degree, if I get a good job. Yeah, maybe. But more likely that there's a hand that's running the show and you have to do yours and at the same time realize that he's doing his. And he can do his through any cause and effect. So again, we have to do our basic ishtadlut as he discussed earlier and we'll continue discussing. But where we place our confidence isn't in the cause and effect. That isn't what we should rely on. We should do our hishtadlut, yet realize that at the end of the day, he's the one running the show.